Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. We are now going to start reading Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Lord of the Inferno. Preface. This book picks up at the end of Adar's last chapter in War of the Fathers, and primarily follows Adar immediately after the Hunwe invasion in Zekerani. I had originally planned, and struggled, to have chapters dedicated to Jorat, his arrival in Rarban, and the substantial problems he finds there. But as I worked on Adar sequences, it became evident I would have a timeline problem. Adar's story just happens in a more compressed timeline than I had originally anticipated. Rather than juggle back and forth to include Jorad's chapters, I decided to double down on Adar's timeline and keep things as close to sequential as possible. All that being said, I think you will have an enjoyable time reading this story. My commitment to you is to have the third book published in the next few months. If you're anxious to read more in this universe, please check out Blood of the Red Guard, a prequel novel about Adar that I published in November 2015. Now, on to the story. Chapter 1. 1,192 years since the Severing. Nir Palor ducked behind a cart as thunder rolled through the sky. He could feel its reverberations in his chest and shook his head in confusion because there had not been an accompanying flash of lightning. He did not normally feel thunder unless a lightning strike was close. He doubted it had been caused by the storm and wondered if one of the Hunwe bombs had gone off while he had been watching Thon pummel Jorad. Nir tried yelling to get his son Arrow's attention, but it was not a surprise the boy did not hear him over the din of the Hunwe invasion. It would have been too easy if Arrow had heard him, or better yet, just come to his senses and got off the open road. "It's not my fault," Nir thought, as Jorad plunged a knife into Thon's chest. The sentiment did not help. The confounded bloody fight was happening because of him. The absurdity of the situation was almost enough to make him laugh, except for his own son Arrow stood close by as Jorad and Thon tried to kill each other. "Never mind all the Hunwe swarming around," Nir thought. "Stare at them instead of running towards cover like any person with half their wits would do." If it had not been for Arrow, Nir would not have moved. As it was, he was still hesitant to go out into the open and took his time to check the way was clear before leaving the temporary safety of the cart. The full force of the wind hit him once he was in the open. He squinted, baring his teeth against the storm. It was better to face that than deal with the Hunwe, but not by much. "It is all too likely that I'll have to contend with both simultaneously soon enough," he thought. The closest group of the hell-stricken monsters was several blocks away, corralling a large number of people before them. As Nir approached, Jorad pushed Thon off. Arrow put his sword to Jorad's neck. Nir was surprised enough that he stopped, curious about what Arrow would do next. It was no secret Arrow had an axe to grind with Jorad. Nir would be very surprised if his son would have the will to see things through. Jorad looked up as he grasped one of the Hunwe's weapons. "Bloody fool of the nine hells," Nir thought as he burst into a run. Arrow's sword was no match for a Hunwe blaster. Unless Nir acted quickly, Jorad would put a head-sized hole through Nir's son. Sore stood beside Arrow, her face a match of the raging storm. Arrow was not going to make good on his threat to kill Jorad while she watched. Nir was not surprised to see that Arrow was hesitating now. Arrow pulled away his sword, and Jorad stood as Nir slowed to a stop. Surprisingly, Jorad did not look angry with Arrow. Nir was now close enough to hear Jorad invite Arrow to come with him. Nir could not help but smile grimly as the others left while Arrow remained. Hate could be a powerful thing. Not even the Hunwe were enough to make Arrow team up with Jorad. Well, Nir could understand that. If it had come down to Nir going along with Adar, Nir would need a very compelling reason. Arrow bent over Thon just as Nir approached. "Leave him," Nir said. "No," Arrow cried. I'm not letting Jorah get away with another murder. Nir was glad his son's back was turned. It was getting harder with each passing day to keep his face passive whenever Brahm's death was mentioned. Nir was reaching a hand out to Eru when he saw Guru lying several feet away, dead with a large hole burned into him. The frenzy of the crowd had kept Nir from seeing him before. Nir thought of Jorad's blaster and assumed that this was Jorad's handiwork. Anytime Nir had spent more than several minutes with Guru, the man had rubbed the scar on his neck and spoke of his oath to make sure Jorad paid for what he had done. The idiot had probably charged before he had noticed Jorad was carrying a Hunwe weapon. Yet another death to add to all the mess. And it had all been for nothing. Brahm alive or Brahm dead, Nebron would still have fallen. Nir's family would still have been ripped apart one way or another. Nir grabbed Arrow's arm, but his boy shook it off and put a hand to Thon's mouth. He's still breathing. It's faint, but I can feel it. We need to bandage wounds. Do something. No, Nir said. We go now. It was an effort for Nir to keep his voice steady and calm. The last thing he needed was Arrow accusing him of not caring. He must have half a dozen wounds. If he's not dead yet, he will be soon. Thon is not going to die, Arrow said. That confounded liar won't be that lucky. Nir noticed the determination on his son's face and recognized it was the same look that Arrow's mother Felia sometimes got. There was no reasoning with her when she got that way. The same was true with Arrow. Nir sighed. He could either knock Arrow unconscious and drag him away, or he could move Thon. Given the way Arrow stared at him with condemning eyes, Nir figured lugging the heavy body of Thon off the street would be the easier of the two and take the least amount of time. One of these days he would have to bring his son in line, if he only had the slightest idea how to do that. See for yourself, Arrow said. He's alive. Frowning, Nir glanced around and was happy to see there weren't any Hunwe close by as he knelt on the muddy ground. He held the back of his hand up to Thon's mouth. A slight stir of air tickled his skin as Thon exhaled. Nir had figured Arrow had imagined it, but he could not deny that Thon still lived. If I don't do something now, Nir thought, this will not only be another death over my head, but I'll have to face the anger of my son as well. It would have been an easier decision if it had been Polar bleeding out on the ground. Bloody Melia, this wouldn't even be an issue if I didn't have Arrow hovering over me. Thon's chest was covered with more wounds than Nir had previously thought, but now that he got a closer look, he realized that none of the wounds were close to the heart. He might have a punctured lung, but it was possible Thon could live through this if the blood loss was stopped. And a miracle occurred. Lightning flashed. A blast from one of those cursed weapons went buzzing by overhead. Thon exhaled again. Jorad had done this, not Nir. But Thon had been convinced that Jorad had killed Brahm. It was Nir's fault as much as anyone's. He could not deny that. Fighting it would get him nowhere. He realized as he stared down at Thon, he couldn't have the death of another of his own townspeople on his hands. Melia, there were so few of them left as it was. Another blast flew by, and Arrow flattened to the ground without regard to the muddy street. The blast had not been anywhere close to either of them, and the action had not been necessary, but Nir was glad his son was starting to be cautious still the same. Maybe his son had a chance of surviving in this crazy new world after all. The Hunwe were still further down the street. Nir and Arrow were becoming more and more alone. Before long, the Hunwe would come for them if they continued to wait here. The closest structure was an older home that was about 40 feet away. If Nir had known he would need to move Thon today, he would have brought more men. Byvari said, if he would have known about any of this, he would not have come. He looked around, hoping Bark had not gone far, but the man was nowhere to be seen. With so few left, their sad little group would feel the loss. His eyes fell on Guru, and he shook his head. What a waste. Come on, Nir said, grabbing one of Thon's arms and motioning to the other with a nod of his head. We'll drag him in there and see what we can do. Thon stirred as they moved. His eyes opened, and he stared into Nir's face. When their eyes made contact, Nir found himself hoping Thon never learned the truth, that it was Nir who had killed Brahm.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.